Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the show. That was the Japanese call of the walk-off victory by Japan over Mexico last night in the World Baseball Classic. Tonight is the championship game, the United States against Japan, 6 o'clock on FS1, because on Fox is Lone Star 911, and so you can't preempt that for this, certainly. But we can talk to Jamie Bluma right now about baseball. What's up, Bluma?
How awesome was that game last night?
Not as awesome as tonight's episode of Lone Star 911. You know?
All right, fair enough.
Right. It was fantastic unless you were rooting for Mexico, then it was stupid. So, but, hey, what can you do? That sets up a big showdown tonight. Who's going to win it, the United States or Japan?
Well, I'm going to go U.S. 7-6.
Oh. High scoring.
Yep, I think it's going to happen.
So
I'll run out of pitching a little bit. I mean, I know Otani may be able to get the pitch and relief. I know Darvish may get the pitch and relief. We'll see, man. I think Arnold Penn's in a little bit better shape because of, we talked a little bit about the Cuba game. If you watch the start of that game with Wainwright getting the nod and then it's bases loaded, nobody out, already down 1-0, and we got a limited staff. So for him to bounce back, only give up one in the first, and then end up, you know, getting through four innings, and Mikolas from the Cardinals throwing four more innings. That was kind of a big deal to get us through that and not be able to use the guys just because relievers are limited to no back-to-back days because of restrictions in spring training and getting ready for the regular season. So, you know, what happened in that Cuba-U.S. game, and now we had a day off yesterday with Japan and Mexico playing. I think that sets us up a lot better for tonight.
So it sounds like you are all in. You love this World Baseball Classic, don't you?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I mean, I've talked to you guys about this before. I mean, I was part of a bunch of things overseas to try to get the baseball back into the Olympics, and it happened as an exhibition sport a couple years ago, but not back on the docket. So this is an opportunity for other countries that have been working hard to put baseball on the map in their countries to showcase them. But then, obviously, by the end of the tournament, you see the powerhouses across the globe, being us and Japan, just how it probably should be to end up in the final. And to play for your country is just a whole different thing. I mean, I think that's why you see guys, the lineup that we've got, because guys missed the opportunity last time it came around, and that's why you see the Trouts and the Betts and the Trey Turners and all those guys playing for the U.S. because you don't know when you're going to get that opportunity again.
Yeah, going down there – Bluma, I talked to you in the hallway a little bit the other day about just the atmosphere in the place and how much it means to these other countries, I think, is interesting. And I think it's just, we were having a conversation, the guys that I was with, and we were all dressed up in our USA gear. We were having fun leaning into it. But the truth of the matter is, like, yeah, we wanted the USA to win, and we were cheering every time they got a big hit and everything. But had they lost, I think we would have walked out and kept partying, you know? when Venezuela lost, I looked. I mean, the guys around us, they were devastated, you know. And I don't know what that says, other than maybe because in the United States we're such a powerhouse in so many things, it's harder to be when you're the underdog. It's easier to like have a ton of pride. I don't know what it is. But I will say what you said, that being there live, it did strike me how into it the American players were. And I don't know how much of a change that is from the past, but you almost get the feeling that by playing in this packed stadium, because the stadium's packed, by the way, and there's a ton of fans from the other team, and it's loud, and it's fun. I wonder if that maybe rubs off on those players a little bit, like, hey, man, this does mean something. This is important. But are you noticing a difference in, like, a growing in terms of how much the Americans actually care about this?
As far as the players go, yeah. I mean, I think you see that. You were there, and you and I talked about it in the hallway yesterday. You know what? Other countries care more about baseball and being fans of it than we do. I know it's America's game, and the best league in the world is here, and maybe that's why we get it's just kind of ho-hum to us over here when we play 162 regular season games, and they only get excited when it's the playoffs. You know, when something like this happens, I've been to games in Japan and Tokyo, and how excited they are day in, day out, and to see the Dominican fans and the Venezuelan fans and the Mexican fans, just how much passion those countries have, more so than we do U.S. Now, I don't think that goes for the players. I think the players this year, you know, are in tune to that, and that excitement from all the other fans has got to drive the guys a little bit, because you just don't get this. One, you don't obviously get it in normal spring training, and you just don't get it in normal regular season games either until the playoffs or until the wild card or until the end of the season. And to get that kind of feeling in March, man, that's got to fire you up as a player.
So Nate has been raving about the fan experience of attending one of these games, and it seems to me that some of the unwritten rules of baseball have been thrown out the window in these games where, hey, look, show your emotion, show your passion, bat flip, celebrate, have fun, get out there and be flamboyant. And don't you think that's another reason why the fans are engaged? It's just it's a more colorful product, and you're seeing how much fun they're having and how much these guys love baseball, where, let's be honest, sometimes in Major League Baseball, it's a lot more understated. And if someone celebrates too hard after a home run, or, you know, flips their bat a little bit, I'll hit you in the head with a baseball next time I see you if you do that. Is there anything that Major League Baseball can take away from the way these games are played and the fan experience that could make baseball better for the fan when the regular season comes about?
You know what? I think you're absolutely right, and the passion of it is coming through. And as long as you're not doing it in a way that's showing somebody else up, you know, I think there's less of that with the bat flips. It's not somebody showing you up. It's just that it's a product of you hit a big home run in a big situation. I don't know if you watched when Rosarena robbed a home run last night, and then just stood there with his arms crossed, staring, and then was signing baseballs during the inning. Like, that you'll never see something like that go on probably in the regular season here in the United States, you know, during MLB, and it was crazy to see. And Rosarena, you know, when he had such a great postseason a couple of years ago, put himself on the map, and now to become the player that he's been, you know, with that kind of passion and just having a good time. And they also showed him in the dugout, interacting with the fans and throwing baseballs into the fans. I mean, that's just you got to let that stuff ride, and it just shows how much fun those guys are having with the fans, and that's what drives that. And I think you see a lot more of that emotion out of the American players this year that you maybe didn't used to see in the past, that it was a little bit more subdued from them. And when we came back and hit that home run that Trey Turner hit, the grand slam the other night to come back and beat Venezuela, I mean, those guys erupted out of the dugout, and when he got that, you know, only gave up one run, Wainwright, in that inning to start the game against Cuba the other night. You know, there's just that it's so much fun to see that passion. We have always seen it from other countries, and to see it coming from our dugout is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Some baseball person, it was like a college coach or something, was tweeting out yesterday, you know, about how the pitcher from Venezuela woke up the dogs by getting too excited after a strikeout against the Americans, as if the reason Trey Turner hit the grand slam that he hit was because he was fired up that the Venezuela pitcher, you know, was going crazy on the mound after striking, you know, a United States batter out. That concept cracks me up, you know, as if, oh, Trey Turner's locked in now. It's like it's a 35,000 seat sold out building, and the place is going nuts, and the bases are loaded, and his plan for his country. But he's fired up because the guy on the other team got too excited after a play. That's what we're.
Well,
come on.
Right. I mean, he's fired up anyway. I mean, how excited was he to see an 0-2 cookie right down the middle of the plate? I mean, his eyes had to be so big, he couldn't even. And he obviously hit that ball out. So, and then his next two at bats the next game, he ended up hitting home runs too. Against Cuba, so out of the nine hole. And that's how good this lineup is. He hits a grand slam to beat Venezuela, and the next game they play against Cuba, he's in the nine hole and hits two more home runs. So that's just what kind of lineup that we're running out there. I mean, maybe we don't have the, you know, the top 10 pitchers that are in the game with the Clayton Kershaws and the Max Scherzers or those guys pitching for us, but we've still got a pretty good staff. I mean, a guy like Wainwright in his 18th season, you know, wants the ball and wants to get out there and play for his country. That ought to tell everybody something, you know, about the passion these guys are having playing in this year. And they're the defending champions. First time we've ever been the defending champions in this thing. And now we get to go against Japan, who's won it twice in the past. Should be quite an exhibition tonight.
All right, let's get to the Royals. I mean, opening day is
Thursday.
Closer than we think. You just blew Nate's mind. He had no idea. Nate thought it was still 2 months away. Unbelievable. So Andy Rogers from MLB.com wrote about some position battles, roster battles that are still taking place. And one of them is the rotation, but it seems like the rotation is pretty close to being finalized. We know Zach Greinke and Jordan Lyles and Brady Singer are in it, so the debate was for the final two spots. But as she writes, it seems like Daniel Lynch and Brad Keller have a leg up on the rest of the candidates. Jonathan Heasley and Jackson Kowar have both been optioned. But then that leaves Chris Bubich and Ryan Yarbrough. Yarbrough will be on the team, and he's going to fill a number of different roles. But Bubich, if he's not in the rotation, the Royals could put him in the bullpen as another option for length, or he could go to AAA to continue his buildup. If Bubich does not make the rotation, would you rather see him in the bullpen or to get sent down to AAA to continue his work as a starter?
I'd rather see him in the bullpen. That gets another lefty there. I think we're going to have Amir Garrett down there in the bullpen, you know, a situational guy to some extent. You obviously have to face, you know, three hitters if you're not finishing an inning now. But Bubik gives us a left-handed option out of the pen. I'm excited for Keller. Came back to camp after losing his spot in the rotation last year. Debuted a new curveball. Got himself in even better shape than he had been the year before. And looks like he's worked hard enough and had a good enough spring that he's going to get a roster. And same with Kowar was something for him, and we've talked about this a lot, him getting opted down. I still like stuff, but it looks like that's going to be the final rotation, and there's still a couple bullpen arms. I just read an article this morning talking about because the Mets lost Edwin Diaz in an injury in the World Baseball Classic, if the Mets are going to come calling, for maybe an Aroldis Chapman, for maybe a Barlow, and maybe if they're looking for a guy to fill their closer role. And if that may change something for us for the end of spring training, you wonder if we're listening to any options from there. But I've just been encouraged overall from a pitching staff standpoint of, you know, throwing more strikes and an emphasis on getting ahead of guys and being the aggressor. And I, that's what we talked about, you know, months ago, like how are we going to see immediate dividends with the new coaching staff and just the new analytics and all that kind of stuff. And I think we've seen a lot of that.
Okay, so let's hone in on Keller for a minute, because he's a pivotal player for the Royals. Because, you know, you pretty much you know what you're going to get out of Greinke, out of Lyles. He brought him in to eat innings. We hope we know what we're going to get out of Brady Singer. But after that, you know, big question marks in the rotation. And so Keller, he could be a guy, like, if he's good, then the rotation looks different, and that could lead to the Royals surprising. Or if he's good, he could be a viable trade chip. And when Andy Rogers was asked in this lengthy article where it goes through each team, one player on each team who's made a big impression this spring, she selected Brad Keller. And some of the things she writes about Keller, I'll be honest, it does get me excited, even though I didn't have a whole lot of expectations for him when spring started. But she mentioned he's slimmer, he's stronger, he worked with driveline baseball, and maybe you could kind of elaborate on that for people that don't quite know what that is. He put in work with driveline baseball this offseason, and the Royals are very excited by what how that impacted him. He's throwing his curveball now, is committed to throwing it in games, getting good results from the pitch. He's throwing a sweeping slider in addition to his tight slider and cutting fastball. And so it's not just you're hoping he's better. There's things that he did in the offseason that could actually lead to much improvement. He's 27 years old, final year before free agency. And so if he pitches well, he's either going to help this team win or, like I said, he could be a trade candidate. What about those things that suggest Brad Keller could have a good season?
The exciting thing is we've seen some really good stretches out of Keller in the past. So we know that can be a possibility. And with all the work that he's put in, is just trying to sustain that, you know, over a longer period of time, you know, throughout the course of, you know, 25 to 30 to, if he stays in the rotation the whole year, 32 starts. I mean, what driveline does is it really gets down into the nuts and bolts of your, you know, of your mechanics, using your entire body, you know, finding out what pitches and what, you know, what you can do to manipulate a baseball that's going to be the most effective. I think that's where they found that maybe a curveball would be a good addition to his arsenal. You know, with he's got crazy movement on his fastball, and there's a couple articles in years past that just talk about how the ball comes out of his hand and the rotation on its axis, where he has a very unique spin when he throws his two-seam. And all of those things that you're able to get into with now all the technology through driveline and all the, you know, specifics you can get from camera and spin rates and all that, he's really, you know, delve deep into that and working with driveline and try to find how he can maximize, you know, his ability to be able to get people out and to show that dedication and to come back in spring training in even better shape. I mean, he wanted that rotation spot back, and I think coming in that way and showing the organization, I'm not just going to rest on what I've done in the past to try to be a – this is a pivotal year for him too. I mean, free agency and all that's moving forward. I mean, he goes out and has a good, really good year this year. I mean, he sets himself up for the rest of his life from a monetary standpoint. So this is a big time for him and all the work that he's put in and all those things to make him, you know, a better pitcher day in, day out, and for longer stretches of time.
Did you see the quotes from Zach Greinke the other day after all the pickoff attempts that he had in spring training?
I did not.
He basically was indicating that he hadn't had a chance to work on pickoffs as much as he wanted to. So maybe it almost seemed like he implied that he was pitching poorly so he could have some guys on base to work on pickoff moves this spring training. And it reminded me of back when Zach was first with the Royals when he was really young. There was a game where he decided that he was going to throw like nothing but changeups, I think, the entire game, because he wanted to work on it, and it, like, he got shelled, and some of the position players were mad at him because they were stuck out on the field the whole time. And that's one of the times that I formulated my opinion, Bluma, that I just don't care anything about spring training numbers, because if guys are just working on some specific thing, they're not really concerned with the results. But I thought it was interesting that, like, Zach would actually do if there's one pitcher out there that would do it, it would be Zach. And I wonder how many guys are going to be worried about their pickoff moves this year, considering the new rules and everything.
You know what? That's exactly – it's funny because that's Zach to a T right there. Well, he doesn't care, and he's in a situation to make this team, you know, regardless of what his spring numbers look like. And so I'm reading the article about it right now that he's mad that there haven't been people to get off base, so he hasn't had an opportunity to work on it. So I'll just pitch like crap so guys do get on base, so I do have something to work on. Not everybody has that luxury in spring training. I mean, guys that are trying to make a team and do stuff like that, but – I still think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I said to you guys a couple weeks ago, the numbers have shown already this spring how much of an uptick there are on stolen bases because of the pickoff rules, and it's going to get right down to it. And we have some of those guys that are going to take advantage of that too, which I like from our roster standpoint. We got some guys that can run, and we're going to see a little bit more of that moving forward. But Zach, in a funny way, addressing the situation a way only Zach Greinke can do it.
Jamie Bluma has been our guest. All right, Bluma, tell people if they are interested in getting with you for lessons or anything else, how they can get a hold of you.
Give me a call over at home field, 913-320-4404. You can find me on Twitter at BundyJr19. Shoot me a DM that direction. I know people have called the radio station to get my number to set up for lessons. There's multiple ways to hunt me down, get your kid in for some lessons. We just did a spring break camp last week, so that was fun, and getting ready for baseball season to start all across the board. High school games start this week, and then younger kids as we get into April. So if you need something, please get a hold of me.
All right, Nate told me not to mention this, but what about Mizzou sweeping Tennessee, who at the time was the number two team in the nation, and Mizzou sweeps them over the weekend, and now Mizzou ranked in the top 25. And I believe, Nate, correct me if I'm wrong, that Mizzou plays KU at Kauffman Stadium on Wednesday night.
Ooh, I did not know that. All right.
All of those things are true. I mean, I think Missouri was picked to finish in the bottom half of the SEC, but to start off the way that they did, to beat a really highly ranked and a lot of prospects on that Tennessee team. Really good start for Missouri. They've got a couple really good, their Friday night, Saturday night starters have been really good so far. SEC is a gauntlet. It's going to be a long season for all those teams in there. But to get off on a hot start against Tennessee was huge for them. And, yeah, and KU is actually playing pretty good. A lot of local kids up there playing at KU, and they get the nod at Kauffman Stadium on Wednesday.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Nate doesn't care, but I think it's great. So.
Well, it's not very often you get those matchups that you used to see in the, Big 8, Big 12 and all that stuff. So to do it in your own backyard, and hopefully they got a decent enough crowd out there, and I hope the weather holds for Wednesday. Looks like it's supposed to be 70 degrees, but maybe a little bit of rain, so at least it's going to be warm. Go out there and check out Kauffman, and then hopefully we'll see you guys next Thursday for opening day.
KU played Missouri in the WNIT last night.
There you go. Steven.
Yeah, blew him out.
75-47. Kansas, let's go!
Right. Oh. But nothing to see about it. This is a baseball segment, buddy. I don't know if you realize that. Bluma was a pitcher.
Well, he was, but, I heard multi-sport athlete at one point in time.
Why don't you think baseball's good? This is something fun.
Well, sure it is. I'm just, just pooing
all over this damn thing.
I didn't say anything bad.
Thank you for supporting baseball, Bluma. That's why you're the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week.
That's Jamie Bluma. Did you know that was going on, Marco? You don't care, do you?
I do care. I got
time for that.
I got friends that are KU fans. A little alum. Yeah, I didn't know that they were coming in town. I have a buddy who lives in Lawrence. He was thinking about driving up to watch them tomorrow. Weather's supposed to be nice.
Like, why not? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's not every day you get to see a border war where Missouri's the top 25 team.
Watching it in that venue.
Yeah, the K.
Maybe I'm wrong.
How much longer, you know, are you going to go?
I was thinking about it.
That'd be fun.
Boddicker just texted me, drive line my ass. Keller was working with Bluma. I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Need to ask him if he'd rather watch spring training baseball or WBC baseball.
Who, Mike?
Yeah.
Or which he's more angry about.
I don't think he wants to watch either one of them, to be honest.
Yeah, he's angry about both, probably. There's no pitch clock at WBC. He could, you know, that's why Lebo doesn't like it. Maybe that's why Boddicker would like it.
Man, he don't want to watch none of that. We'll take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. You know, some people don't take it very well when their coach leaves for another school, especially what could be considered a rival school. I sent this clip to Marco that I would like him to play of students at Providence being interviewed on the TV news about their head coach, Ed Cooley, leaving for Georgetown. And so, and that's a big rivalry. And boy, they don't like it. But some are philosophical and, you know, get it. Here is, I like this guy. This guy is standing in front of the house he lives in. He's in a very tight Providence jersey. And he has a sign up on the wall that says, Hire Patino, which is, it's too late because he's been hired by St. John's, and he references that. He said, bad timing on this. But they interview a couple of different people. But listen to this guy. This guy, I think, sums it up pretty well here about losing your head coach to a rival.
Cooley, I'm heartbroken. It's like an ex-girlfriend. I can probably never talk to you again, but it happens. Maybe I'll send you a DM here and there. But, Cooley, you're breaking my heart. I love you. Good riddance at the same time, but I love you.
When I found out he actually left, I was distraught, really, especially for a terrible program like Georgetown. I mean, worst record in the Big East in the last 2 years.
You know, I don't hold too much animosity. It is a business at the end of the day, but, you know, obviously as a fan and a, you know, passionate student here, it does, you hate to see it.
It's me and my housemates made that sign. Sadly, it's aged poorly, but it happens.
So he's talking about the sign that says Hire Patino, and so it's and what is one guy was waving up there, so had a Hire Patino. But I thought this young man, is that's him right there, is very philosophical. He says, it's kind of like an ex-girlfriend. I'll never talk to you again. I might send you a DM here or there. But that's it. And he said, I love you. Good riddance, but I love you.
Yeah,
play that first part again.
That's fantastic.
That kid has it figured out. He's emotional, but I think he has everything in proper perspective. Just play that first part again.
Cooley, I'm heartbroken. It's like an ex-girlfriend. I can probably never talk to you again, but it happens. Maybe I'll send you a DM here and there, but Cooley, you're breaking my heart. I love you. Good riddance at the same time, but I love you.
He's great.
That
kid's great.
What a emotionally in touch kid, you know, right there. He gets it all. Yeah,
he said a lot.
Yeah, you're breaking my heart. I probably can never talk to you again.
And clearly, he has an ex-girlfriend that he sends DMs to that he doesn't speak to.
Just here and there, you know, like some nights. Maybe I've had a little too much to drink and I'm feeling sentimental.
I love you. good riddance.
At the same time.
But I love you. And we've all had coaches leave that we didn't want to leave. And that, I've never quite heard those feelings crystallized as well as that young man there. So
I mean, it's kind of giving me flashbacks to when Roy left Kansas a little bit.
Good riddance,
but I love you. Yeah. And I'll never talk to you again, but I might slide into your DMs every once in a while.
I thought well said on all fronts there.
But, you know, just like with an ex-girlfriend, if you upgrade after your girlfriend dumps you, it's a lot easier to not feel like you need to slide into those DMs anymore. So just go hire a better coach, Providence. You know, that's what Kansas did with Bill Self.
Maybe he still wants to. You can't tell him what to do.
Right. But I feel like the urge for KU fans to slide into Roy's DMs, you know, it's not as strong because they got a better coach.
And slide into his DMs.
Yeah, and then you don't need to slide into Patino's DMs.
Well, you still can.
You never know. You might find yourself in an Italian restaurant in a compromising position.
Well, he's not. He's Ed Cooley, who he's sliding the DMs into. You're trying to. What do you want him to?
Oh yeah, Patino's the one that they wanted him in. They wanted him in Providence.
I'm back in the day. He wanted full circle.
Yeah.
But he's already off the market.
Probably a lot of Italian restaurants in Queens.
Yeah. What?
Do you even know about that, Marco?
No, I don't. I got a lot of questions about that one. No, I was going to say, Patino, St. John's, I mean, they definitely...
that's a fit.
They definitely hired the I guess, quick fix. Something to help you get over the breakup for a little while, but not going to do much for you long term, I don't think.
I think they're just looking to get put back on the map. Just get, you know.
Yeah, get, absolutely.
Regain some relevance. Mike Anderson did not work out. That was such a weird, that wasn't really a fit. You know, Mike Anderson in New York. That didn't make a whole lot of sense. But Rick Pitino does. That makes sense. And that would not, with the ability to replenish a roster via transfer portal and NIL and romantic Italian dinner, I don't think that... It's too much to ask that he could have them back in the tournament next year. I mean, why not?
Tell you what, they've tried just about everything at St. John's over the years. Nothing's really seemed to stick. When was the last time St. John's was, like, really good in basketball? Like, their history, they have a history there, but...
I remember I was a big fan of their point guard, Felipe Lopez.
Yeah, he was supposed to be... the phenom. I remember Kansas was in on him. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right.
And he ended up being an okay player. But I
liked watching him. Yeah, he didn't
quite live up to the hype. It's unfair to put
really
that kind of
hard
hype.
To live up to that hype that he had.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost like LeBron James level hype, you know, when he was coming out of high school. But man, they've had Mike Jarvis, they've had Chris Mullen.
Jesus, Felipe Lopez was 94-98 at St. John's. Oh, I mean, they've tried. I mean,
they keep trying. Maybe this will be the one.
I always root for them because I like their gear because it's, you know, it's St. John's.
Well, our buddy Scarecrow, he's been the Dobo there for I don't know how many years. Two different coaching staffs now.
What happens with him now?
I don't know. Good question. He survived one coaching change, which is probably hard to do in that situation. But hopefully he's got enough connections now. You know, he shared an office. Remember we had him on. He shared an office with Mitch Richmond, who was on the staff with Chris Mullen there.
This is who they've hired since they had Lou Carnesecca in his sweaters.
Yeah.
Right? Let's see. Oh, that can't be in chronological order, can it? Oh, wow. Let's see. Brian Mahoney, Fran Fraschilla.
Fran.
Ask Fran Fraschilla about it. Right?
Huh? Yeah.
Come on, play the damn clip. Oh, Jesus, Marco.
Ask Fran Fraschilla about it. He can speak for us.
Mike Jarvis, Kevin Clark, Norm Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Steve Lavin.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dunlap. Chris Mullen, Mike Anderson, Rick Pitino now. Norm Roberts was there for a while. 2004 to 2010, is that right? Yeah.
I wonder how many tournaments they made while he was there. He might have been. I mean, that's a pretty good run.
He did not.
No tournaments?
9-18, 12-15, 16-15, 11-19, 16-18, 17-16. No. Made the CBI first round and NIT first round.
I don't know what it is because there are, you know, smaller Catholic schools in the Northeast that win a lot.
But Tino's going to take care of business.
Villanova.
Right.
You know, it's just, for whatever reason, St. John's, like, with the history they have, you think they'd be able to get back. They're always trying. They're hiring big names, guys that have won national titles.
Okay, so Frank, let me see if I can help Frank out. Frank just sent me a message saying, I can't find tickets anywhere for the game at Kauffman tomorrow. So what I did was, I just, because I had to look for a while. It ain't easy. They're not doing a very good job of promoting this.
Okay.
I just Googled Mizzou, Kansas, Kauffman Stadium, March 22nd. So I tried to get as specific as possible. And then there was a link at MLB.com, College Baseball Showdown, Kansas City Royals. And so I clicked on that, and it says here, the Kansas City Royals are excited to host the College Baseball Showdown between Kansas and Mizzou. The two teams will face off Wednesday, March 22nd at 6 p.m. at Kauffman Stadium. All tickets for this event are general admission only. Kansas fans on the first base side, Mizzou fans on the third base side, all fans, children and adults, will need a ticket. Parking is free for the event, so fans do not need to purchase a parking pass in advance. And then you click on buy tickets, and all the tickets are $15. It's general admission.
That's a good deal.
So, there you go. Because Frank said, I can't find tickets nowhere, not open to the public. It is, since he had to do a little... I mean, I was even looking at Google.
Not making it easy.
I was wondering, like, did they cancel it or something? So just Google that. Do all the specifics. Missouri, Kansas, Kauffman Stadium, March 22nd. And they'll take you to the Royals. And I don't even know if it's on the front of Royals.com. But College Baseball Showdown. So, I mean, I don't know what else. I'm looking at the front of Royals.com, and I don't see nothing. Just Google it and go that way. That's weird, isn't it? Shouldn't they be promoting that a little bit more?
You'd think so.
Do something. Call somebody. You're the one who's got all the connections. Make something happen. Hell, you don't even know about it. I'm trying to tell you about it. Trying to tell people about it.
You're getting the word out there. I appreciate it.
Whatever. Back after this on WHP. Hey, Marco, Nate wants to hear Marcus Spears talking about why Odell Beckham Jr. should go to the Chiefs. Here is ESPN's Marcus Spears giving his explanation.
He doesn't need to be in the one spot, but he'll be a one in Kansas City, which should be the obvious spot for me. And when you think about it, he's only the one at wide receiver because Travis Kelce ain't a wide receiver. That's why he would be the one, but he would still be the two when you talk about the ability and effectiveness of the guys. I think you do a one-year deal, $6 or $7 million in Kansas City. More than likely, you're going to end up in the AFC Championship based on what we done watched the last 5 years.
Point.
And you'll have an opportunity as well to have dynamic numbers, show that you're back fully healthy without it all being on you, but you can make those explosive splash plays that Odell Beckham Jr. wants to make as well. I think Kansas City would be perfect with him. Great play caller, great quarterback, and a great tight end, and you would just fit seamlessly in.
Argue with him.
I don't have an argument. I think that makes a lot of sense. I was not a big fan of the idea of getting Odell Beckham Jr. before, but I think I'd be for it now if they can afford it because of all the things he just said. And
stick to your guns. Don't be a suck-up.
Well, circumstances change.
And you want Odell Beckham Jr. more than DeAndre Hopkins? or less?
I feel like I think that you wouldn't have to pay him as much as Hopkins is on, and you wouldn't have to give up trade draft picks, right?
He's a free agent,
so
you can give draft picks to.
Yeah, like if you get Hopkins, you got to trade for him and pay him.
There
all
you
that
go.
Money. Whereas with Odell Beckham Jr., I would think you could pay him a lot less. But look up, like Hopkins,
you trust that knee?
I mean, that trick knee. I just don't feel like you got to pay him as much as you got to pay Hopkins. I think Hopkins' cap hits $30 million next year. What I saw yesterday when I was looking at all this garbage.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
You're just throwing numbers around now.
Am I?
Yeah.
If now maybe you can trade him and work out a new contract that's going to be more team friendly. But I, of course, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I'm not renegotiating a contract that's going to pay me less. Yeah, his cap hit this coming year, his cap hit is $30.75 million. And then it's $26 million the year after that. I don't think I want that kind of cap hit for DeAndre Hopkins. And then if you got a trade on top of it, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You could bring in Beckham for a year or two, draft another wide receiver, try to keep getting younger and better there.
Cap numbers for a new team for DeAndre Hopkins would be $19.45 million in 2023 and $14.91 million in 2024.
Okay, so that's better.
That's more palatable.
It's more palatable, but like we're talking about these other guys going for $11 million a year, stuff like that.
Those other guys aren't as good as DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, but what's just DeAndre Hopkins at this point? I don't know.
I mean, he's
30.
On pace for over 1,000 yards. And
he'd be big. He'd put up big
catches.
Numbers. Look, I'll put it this way. If they get Hopkins, I'll be excited about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I'd rather – I feel like it'd be a lot cheaper from both a draft pick and contract standpoint to sign OBJ. Or McCole Hardman.
Let's take a break and think about what you just said. Back into this on WHP.